Welcome to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast for it.
Hello, 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 hello. I'm sorry, I'll never start an episode that way again. But anyway, hi, welcome to Outplay Outcast. I don't know why it seemed like a good idea, and then I looked at the waveform, and it's just like one big old block of... So no, I apologize not in advance, in the opposite of advance, after the fact. Ad hoc ergo Proctor hoc. Welcome to Survivor Podcast on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. We're going to be talking about season 36 here, which is called Ghost Island, and it's not a very good name for a season, but it's a pretty good season thus far. Episode 5, Diamond in the Rough. We are a podcast on Night of Living Geeks. Go to patreon.com/NOTLG. Support all of the much better shows than us. I am Nick. That is Andy over there.
You know what's weird is you just did the ad hoc, ergo Proctor Hoc or whatever, and my wife and I literally just watched that episode of West Wing.
Oh, so you know that I used it wrong?
Tonight. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. That's our little secret. I've learned that if you just speak Latin at people, they get like, they don't even know that you're wrong. They're just like, what? They're talking Latin. Like, I couldn't think of, you know that old phrase, who watches the Watchmen? I was like, we were talking about it at work, and I said it in Latin. I don't remember what it was, something like qui ipsos custodio custodiat or whatever. I did that completely wrong. But you know what? They don't know that. Anyway, that's Brian over there.
Yeah.
Bro, other than the fact that your team just gets eliminated left, right, and center, are you, if fantasy aside, are you liking this season?
I mean, it's not bad. Yeah. It hasn't been anything special yet, though.
Yeah. There were some high points. This was a low point for me, not because a bad thing happened. But it was a bad thing that, yeah, it's supposed to happen. Good players are supposed to get voted out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks that this was a good player that I enjoyed quite a lot. And I knew... I got to stop. Like, I want to add notes to our notebook or whatever for the episode. But as soon as I open it up, here's what I see. Stephanie goes to Ghost Island, then gets voted out. And it's just like, well... Thus ends all suspense for the episode as I'm watching it.
Well, you're supposed to watch the episode and then put notes in, man.
What? I like putting the notes in just as they pop into my head. And so I literally put just one in there because it was Ghost
Island. I was suggesting next time, put your notes in like a notepad, and then when you're done watching, open up the notes for the show. And
I would suggest you suck my dick. Because normally the spoiler about who gets voted out is in the fantasy section, and so normally I don't see that. But it's fine, don't worry about it. I am.
That's not true. I put it in every not true.
I don't know. I've never seen it before.
He's a liar.
Whatever.
Regardless, this is a good one. It really does suck, though, that this would be a bad... Well, I'll put it to you this way. This would be a bad season if it weren't for the fact that there are people I like on both sides of the power equation. I like original Malolo people. I like original Navidi people. Right now, it's just vote out all the... Original Navidi?
Original Malolo.
Yeah.
Because the Navidi five that are left on Malolo, I mean, they're doing the smart thing by getting rid of somebody who will be strategic. Like, they're already playing for the merge because they know if they go to tribal two more times, like, whatever.
Yeah.
We vote out Michael, then we vote out Jenna, or vice versa. Like, so they have a safety net in that they have two players they already know are going to get voted out first. But what will be interesting is if they stay five strong and they keep losing... What happens if the new Navidi, which are fractured, because the old Navidi that are there still is like the Chris and Angela and Wendell and Dominic, so they're split. And then on that side, the Malolo 4 have the power, but they're kind of mixing and mingling, I think, more than what they're doing here.
Well, because
it'll be a wake-up call if these five go over there and don't have a majority.
The new Navidi, the Chris and all of the Chris, Donathan, et al., they... don't have any strife because they haven't had to vote anyone out. They haven't had to go to council or anything. So maybe they are 5 strong, 4 weak, whatever. But, you know, let's say the new Malolo keeps losing every council. They go to 2 more and then they merge. Maybe that new Navidi is just like, you know what? We like each other too much. We've had, you know, 2 weeks together, haven't had any strife. Those old guys, we don't owe them anything. And maybe they end up getting voted out.
Yeah, and it looks like the new Navidi have a solid 4 with the old Malolo there, plus Wendell and Dominic. And the only swing there is maybe Donathan, who might end up going with like Chris and Angela. Chris and Angela are kind of on the outs, so I think they'll end up being swing votes, but they seem both like alpha types, so they're going to want to do something themselves, but don't think they have the pull to do it. So it's setting up to be interesting once they merge, but right now, so long as this Malolo keeps sucking...
Yeah, like, they're awful.
Next week it's Michael or Jenna, and the week after that it's the other one, and... Those 5 are smart enough to keep doing that, at least. But I don't think they're smart enough to plan beyond that.
But, so the old Malolo on the new Malolo tribe, or these 3 they had, are all stupid. Okay? So last week, they couldn't get anybody to turn, because if they turned on them, then it would just be 4-4, and that would be pointless. Now, if they get somebody to turn on them, they would still, you know, they would still have 5-3, and it would have been much easier for them to convince them to vote one of them out, because they would still have the numbers afterward. But they didn't even try this week. They were just like, "Well, we're losing. Oh well."
Well, each one of them went into each one of them, the old Malolo, that is, on the old Malolo, on new Malolo, they decided to. Go into not me mode. Like they, it, I feel like yeah. they, it, I don't, see, I don't know, cause maybe they didn't stand a chance because, I don't know, it's hard to tell, cause you can't really, if they tried to flip people last time, I don't know. Regardless though, I think each one was just look, I just don't want to die.
I think because we got 2 challenges, because we get a separate reward and a separate immunity, we're losing time at camp, which I think is fine, because from everything we see at the new Navidi, like, they're just not talking to those old people. They're not talking to the Malolo 3. They're not talking to Jenna. They're not talking to Michael. They're not talking to Stephanie. And I think it was just blatantly obvious from start to finish that it wasn't going to happen. There wasn't going to be any flipping of it.
Try. You go talk to them. Don't wait for them to come to you. My point is, when they have a 2-man advantage, it's much more likely you can convince them to switch.
I think they're less concerned about switching and more concerned about, if we win next week and get to the merge, I don't want you to still consider me cuttable. You know, like, which I think is Jenna's plea. Jenna's trying to make a more personal connection with Sebastian by braiding his hair.
Oh, man.
Right? I actually think out of the 3 that she's playing the smartest, because she's making a connection one-on-one that can easily transition into post-merge.
Yeah, but it's not smart. She's making one-on-one connection with one person only, and everybody recognizes it.
Right. But... Michael's argument is, we need to keep the tribe strong, even though they lost in a puzzle and the merge might be like an episode or 2 away. So the idea of keeping the tribe strong is real, real short-minded. Yeah, and I think they kept him around because they just figured he's not playing really that smart or that hard. But you get rid of Stephanie because she is playing hard, and she was making like legitimate, like, batting the eyelashes, flirting kind of stuff, but also like trying to make her plea and make her way into that group in a way that was more genuine and more effective than the other 2 were. So, like, obviously that's a bigger threat, and you got to get rid of that. I think Stephanie's problem here was that she didn't suck enough this week. Like, she needed to roll over and just look like a dead animal, and then they'll keep her around as dead weight.
Yeah. I mean, they admitted that the reason they voted her out is because she was the only one playing the game, which means she's the only one who's really a threat. Jenna... I really liked her when she said in her confessional that, Oh, yeah. She said, look, my base rate is a very blank, slightly angry face, so I've got to stop this resting bitch face. I was like, yeah, you're I like it. That shows me that she's smart enough and savvy enough to realize, all right, this is how I stay in the game. I'm getting a good vibe off her, but I don't think she's too... Well, you know, maybe if that connection with Sebastian is real and she gets some time to nurture it. But who knows, because next week there's going to be another drop your buff moment.
Yeah, but I think I don't think it's going to be that effective in the long run, because I think everybody's underestimating Sebastian, because he's got the surfer thing going on. He doesn't... Not to hate on another person's look, but his face doesn't make him look like he's that smart of a person.
Yeah.
He has the space look on his face all the time. Same way she has resting his face, he is like resting space face. But I think he's better and more intelligent than people give him credit for. Not that he's a smart guy, but he's better than he looks.
It's probably better to say it as he's not as dumb as he looks. He's still a little bit dumb.
Yeah, there you go.
A little bit.
Yeah. But like, she was like, I'm going to braid your hair and get, you know, she's trying to find it. And he's like, cool, you can braid my hair. That's great for you. Like, there's no attachment. He's just using her from start to finish. Which is what he needs to do in that.
I just like the fact that he has managed to find a personal stylist on this island.
Yeah. Well, she has some value to me right now, so let's keep her around.
So we got a really good challenge early on. I didn't understand it until I saw it in action. I was like, okay, you hit the little spinny deal, and then what? I didn't quite get it, because I almost never watched the setup. I'm sorry. When they're explaining, this is how the thing works, I'm like, just show it to me. And so I didn't realize, oh, okay, you hit it and that spins a screw. I thought you just hit it and then you like broke it or whatever. I was like, wait, but it just keeps spinning. It was a really neat challenge, except for the fact that Chris is a baseball player, and I could tell just from his windup and everything, and the fact that like even when they were getting ready to do the thing, he was like moving his arm like his Madison Bumgarner or whatever out there. It was so funny. And then he just goes out and just like hits it every single time, and Sebastian barely wanged the thing once. It was a no contest whatsoever.
So yeah, I hate Chris and he's a huge douchebag, but I was watching that and I'm like, why the hell is this guy not pitching in the MLB right now? Holy shit. You see how fucking hard he was throwing that little sandbag?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean,
it was a pro and con episode for Chris. Like the ragey I want those pastries was hilarious. But then it transferred directly into him doing some crappy freestyling.
That was terrible.
Oh god.
Yeah. Although
with the super corny mic drop thing.
Yeah, but and then after that though, he was talking to Donathan and making some actual like connections with him, and I liked that part. I know, Brian, I know you hate when people on TV, but I thought it was quaint. I liked it. I liked Laurel it was Laurel. Laurel talking to Donathan also, and Donathan being like, yeah, that coffee reminded me of my mom and my meemaw. It's like, ah, cool. Yeah, Donathan's a cool guy. Don't be like that. Come on now.
Well, that's true. That's what he said.
That's what he said. He was like, I've never met like a black person before, so I'm going to go be friends with her. I mean, I'm not like calling her a token or anything, but that's like... Yeah. That's her role in his life at this moment.
Have you ever considered that maybe Donathan is Laurel's white friend?
Yeah, could be. Mm. But we haven't gotten that confession from Laurel. We got that confession from Donathan. No, and I do appreciate that. Like, you get some of Chris's story, and he's more human, and he's got a softer side that he doesn't choose to show, and all those things are great. But like at the end of the day, he's just too roidy out there.
Too male model for you. And you say I have a problem with hot guys.
No, it's because he's a douchebag. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have plenty of dudes that look like that aren't douchebags.
I don't know. Are there any this season?
Joe wasn't a douchebag, okay?
Which Joe? There's too many Joes. Joe Anglim?
Dreamy Joe. I don't know what his real last name was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he doesn't. He doesn't look like Chris though.
Yeah, he looks like
a different level.
You put them together, and it's like this is before I started using muscle powder.
Well, whatever. There's been other dudes, and they weren't douchebags.
Yeah, but we got once again no little mini game, and you know Stephanie would have played. I mean, even if the minigame is just pick one or the other, like it's not really a game, but you know she would have gotten for it.
Yeah, because she would have let fate decide and had the universe guide her.
Well, but also
regardless of what position she was in the game,
she knows she's 5'3". I thought, wait, okay, so was she the one that got divorced and all, or was there two people who just completely changed their life?
There's two.
Apparently, because it was Kellen who was saying that before.
That's right. Oh, it's too bad they didn't get together.
Yeah. Which, I do like that Stephanie's a former Mormon.
Yeah. Ex-Mormon is what they prefer to be called.
I like for Mormon better.
Yeah. That's nice. But yeah, I don't know. I was pretty sure she was going to go. By that point, I already knew because I had read the thing, but I was pretty sure she was going to go because I was like, they're giving her an awful lot of characterization, which I don't know how I feel about it because on the one hand, you know, this is her swan song, so give it to her, and she is an interesting player up to this point, and a candidate to come back, as far as I'm concerned. Like, she wasn't bad at the game, she just got screwed by the fact that her tribe... She went to Tribal Council every single week. Eventually, her number was going to come up. On the other hand, it's like... We know that it's going to be you now because you're talking about your kids and you have this dream of holding at week 16 or whatever, however long it is, holding the check and all that. It's like, oh, no. We know it's you.
Yeah. I definitely agree that she's a candidate to come back because, I mean, it's only episode 5, but really 4 because the first one's a double.
Correct.
And we've all, like, identified her as somebody who seems to be a smart player and she's confessionals is smart and she's... You know, competitive and social and knows how to bat the eyelashes and knows how to, you know, make the alliances and cut ties. Like, the fact that she can show that kind of acumen in such few episodes, like, yeah, I'd like to see her on, like, the different, like, the next version of Second Chances 15 years from now. Hopefully not that far out, but yeah, I can see her coming back.
The rate they're going, she'll be back next season.
So, I need to ask, this is going to sound like a ridiculous question, but was it just me? Or was Desiree insinuating that she was hiding an immunity idol in her boobs? Because she was looking through her bag, and she was like, she doesn't have anything, and she's like, where else could she have hidden it?
I think that might have been.
Like hiding stuff in her bra.
I think
think it's more common when you have like a dress over it or something too, but she was literally just a bra on half the time, so not very concealing.
I think the where else could she hide it was more like, well, she doesn't have anything then. Where else could she have hidden it? That sort of thing. I think it was more rhetorical. I don't think it was like, not accusatory, but yeah, I don't think it was meant to be an answered question.
Yeah, or more like, if it's not here, like the only place it could possibly be is like buried in the sand somewhere, we can't find it. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, when did it become cool to just go through somebody else's shit?
You know, so I was thinking exactly that when I was watching it, because I remember when it first happened, the first time they were on Fiji, and someone went through, Yao Man, no. Oh, yeah, it was Yao Man. They went through Yao Man's bag, and he was just like, he played it perfectly. He was just like, I'm so hurt. Why would you go through my things? And then everyone was just like, oh, how dare you go through Yao Man's bag? And now it's just like, no, she ain't got it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It feels like that should be something that they have a rule for. Just because it's like, they have so little personal space out there. At all. I mean, at the very least, they should have some confidence in the safety of their little tiny bag. You know?
I guess.
That also stops, like, Russell from doing dumb shit, like grabbing on my socks out of my bag and throwing the fire. Like, come on.
Yeah, they don't have a rule against stealing socks and burning them, so I have a feeling they're going to be a little bit more lenient with people who are just poking through your bag instead of stealing things.
Well, but I mean, how, you know, most of the women don't, you know, they don't have any pockets. Where the hell are they going to keep something?
I don't know why more women don't go on with like long ass board shorts or whatever like guys do.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I would go on with a parka if I could. Now it's have hella pockets. And then at night, okay, during the day it would be a pain in the ass, but at night you just wrap up in that big old parka and you're like, I'm super warm, like an Inuit.
Yeah, dude, no, I'm going, if I'm really doing this, I'm going to beat you with like three layers of trench coats. And I will suck at the what is it called when they scramble all the stuff off the boat?
Yeah. I'm gonna cosplay as Willow from the Halloween dance where she met, I'm not remembering Seth Green's character's name. Werewolf. Oz. Thank you. Yeah, she was that cute little Inuit. With the harpoon, too. I don't think they'll let me bring the harpoon.
Okay. But you're talking about wearing the parka.
I'm wearing the parka at night. The three of them turned into carp.
It's not getting cold there at night, I hate to tell you.
No, I feel like it's getting cold. It doesn't matter, though.
Dude, it's not getting cold. They're all wearing fucking sleeping in their fucking underwear. It's not cold at night, dude.
You should understand that I sleep with five blankets, two of which are full-on comforters. I love my blankets. I run cold.
Well, for those of us that eat sometimes, okay?
I eat a lot, in fact, as soon as we're done. Part of the reason we should start moving this one forward because I haven't had dinner yet. I am going to eat dinner as soon as we're done recording. I'm going to eat a bowl of soup before dinner. Before dinner? Before bed. I love soup. Anyway, the only other thing that I really wanted to mention other than I'm going to say it's a shout out to Friday Night Lights that Stephanie put her own stank on it when she said, what was it? She said, clear vision and clear mind and can't lose. I was like, wait, that's what Coach Taylor says. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Come on.
I don't know. I haven't seen that in forever.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I've seen exactly three.
With the woman in the whipped cream.
No, that was Varsity
that's
Blues.
Varsity Blues.
Oh, right? Yeah.
This was a television program. Hey, yeah, yeah. It's not about football. Football is in it and it's important, but it's not about football. You should watch it. It's really good. Adrian Pilecki is in it. Yes, exactly. Rocky's about... It's not about boxing. It's about the life. I don't know. It's good. You should watch it. Adrian Pilecki's in it, and you like her. She's good.
She's in Orville. I'll just watch Orville.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of good.
I'm a little over Seth Green? No. Myers? No. Seth MacFarlane. Yeah, I was just like, I'll just name Seths. The Seth that stole my best friend in high school? Seth? No.
The pilot is the worst episode of Orville, but it gets better and better from it. And Seth MacFarlane's humor that gets injected is not always the highlight, but you have to remember half of the production team is from Star Trek, and like half of the episodes are directed by Jonathan Frakes. So like, it's at least 50-75% Star Trek and like 10% dick jokes.
Anytime I saw the commercials for it, actually I like a good dick joke. I'm just a little over Seth MacFarlane. But anytime I saw a commercial for it, I was just like, this could have been other space. Why didn't they just bring that back? I'm a little shitty person. By the way, go watch Other Space. I keep yelling at you guys and I know you've never seen it because once you do, you'd be like, oh, it changed my life. No, it wouldn't change your life, but it was very good. Okay.
I believe you.
Andy, you would like it more than you liked that episode of Black Mirror.
Okay. Yeah, that was Black Mirror was fucked up.
Yeah. Because it starts off, you're like, oh, I'm so digging it. This guy's kind of cool. And then you realize, oh, those are all clones of his people, and he's such a creeper. It's all weird. I don't know. All right. Well, considering that we've talked about other TV shows a lot more than we have talked about Survivor, we should probably move on to fantasy unless there's other things folks want to talk about.
Nope.
Damn
yeah.
it.
I'm looking forward to the merge, because like I said, this has been, see, that's the problem. We're barely talking about this season because it's kind of rote, you know what I mean? But it's a good season. Like, yeah. I like the people. I feel guilty that we're not going into more depth. It's just like, what can we say? Five people are voting out four people. Five people are voting out three people. Those four and three are trying to make moves, but it's not working out. Oh, well.
So long as this Malola keeps losing, the episode's just going to be too scripted.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I mean, why they're shuffling it up. But that's why this week and last week, we're like, okay, as soon as that five decide that they're not going to break at all,
yeah, you got to break that up.
Actually, don't break. Done.
Production has to break it up at that point. I agree with you, and so I'm glad we're going to get another mixer. So,
all right. Well, we have a bunch of bets on the board. One of them is a Deadpool where each pick a player, and the first person whose chosen player gets voted out gets 3 points. But I picked Laurel. Nick picked Angela, and Brian picked Kellen. And looking at the season now, like, that doesn't look to be super likely right away.
I feel reasonably confident in Angela. I don't know how you guys feel, though.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it shakes up when Chris and Angela.
It's going to be great if those are the final three.
Well, I mean, if Chris and Angela meet up with the Malolo, the Navidi 5 on Malolo, then that's, and they bring Chris and Angela back in, okay, done. Like, then Angela's safe past merge. But I'm wondering, do you guys want to have a bet on whether or not all three of our players will survive to the merge?
Well, I say we should have that bet, but I'm taking no. Just mathematically, I'm taking no on that.
Oh, I'm taking yes.
You think all three are going to... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Make it to the merge or make it to the final?
Merge.
Oh, I totally tuned out what you were saying. Sorry, this is really interesting.
Do we all think that all three of these make it to the merge? Because the merge is...
Yeah.
Still,
it's probably the episode after next. Who do you think you're kidding?
Yeah.
No, it might be three.
No,
I think they're going to make it.
Okay. Well, then we all think they're going to make
it. Yeah, yeah. I thought you were saying... Yeah. I mean, I could see Angela getting replaced by Donathan if they lose another match. But since we have that shuffle, or possibly an early merge, who knows? Since we have that coming up, I don't think that's going to be the case. All right, continue. Yeah.
And we have a bunch of other bets on the board. You can just ignore them because none of them are getting resolved anytime soon. Well, maybe we have one about whether or not Michael will get caught on lying about his age. And if he's gone next episode, well, then easy. Yeah, we got those. And all the bets are on our website at withoutplayoutcast.com. On the left, click the button that says Fantasy Rules. They should all be there. Also on that page is our scoring for the season. So if you want to play yourself next year or moving forward, scoring is pretty simple, pretty easy to figure out. So let's get to it. Brian, you came into the week with 18 points. You had Desiree, Wendell, and Stephanie. Stephanie got you 0 because she was eliminated. Wendell got you 2 for winning both challenges. Desiree got you 3 for going to travel and surviving. That gets you more points because in this game, fire is life when you play with fire. So that's 5 onto your 18, giving you 23. Nick, you came into the week 2nd. You had 29 points. You got 8 because you got 3 from Kellen, 3 from Chelsea, and 2 from Laurel for all the same reasons. That gives you 37. I came to look at 31. I got 2 from Dominic, 2 from James because they were both on Navidi, and 3 from Seabass on that new Malolo tribe with the new old Navidi 5. I don't know, whatever. That's 7 under my 31 and giving me 38. So I'm at 38. Nick caught all the way back up to be within 1 point of me, but Brian is Brian is 15 points behind because we are 5 episodes in and Brian has lost 4 players.
Hey, I'm 14 points behind Nick. So,
all right. Brian, who are you going to pick so that they can end up getting eliminated next week?
That's a good point. Maybe I should pick like that.
No, pick Chris then. Take Chris. Chris is a winner.
What are you, crazy? Hell no.
No, because if Chris makes it to the merge, he'll be good in challenges, and he'll have a decent shot every week of winning one or the other.
You know, not all of the challenges are going to be pitching, okay? So, I'm picking up Jonathan.
There's going to be a fencing challenge. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, I trained in Ipeh when I was at, I don't know, I was going to say Yale, but then I realized, wait, no, that's Laurel.
All right, so Brian, you now have Desiree, Wendell, and Jonathan. Nick, you got Kellen, Chelsea, and Laurel. Any ad drops for you?
I'm kind of trying to think. I'm thinking I should take my own my own advice and take Chris, but I like my three people. I like Chelsea. Chelsea had some good face time in this one. She isn't dumb. She's in good shape. She's easy on the eyes. I'm going to keep her.
She fell off the bridge and let go of the board.
Eh, whatever. Hey, to paraphrase Brian, the next one's probably not going to be a boogie board challenge. I mean, whatever. Yeah. I feel good with her. I'll put it this way. I feel as good with her as I do with anyone else. Chris, even though he might win a couple of challenges, he's also kind of a threat, and so he might be gone soon.
Yeah, I feel like Killen and Laurel are doing pretty good. Laurel's got good, genuine ties with a couple people.
I just feel bad that... smart. I just feel bad that Brian put the evil eye on Donathan.
Yeah, there he goes. Going to make a bet on whether or not Donathan is gone before the merge. Seems inevitable.
No, because it could be Wendell or Desiree.
It's true. It's true. probably would be Wendell if they shuffle tribes.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to... No, because they're going to shuffle tribes. Wendell's going to end up on Malolo, and then he's going to be like, oh, this beach is a pit. Let me build you a whole hammock and a whole dining room set. And they're going to be like, we can't vote this guy out.
That's true. If he gets to the merch, he's going to be like, you think you're going to vote me out? Let me make you a chair, bro. I will make you a chair tomorrow morning.
Poof, you're a chair.
Like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good incentive to keep a guy around. Oh, you can make me a hammock? Cool, let's do it.
All right, well, are you going to make any changes?
No, I've got Dominic, Sebastian, and James, and I don't see a reason to change that into those. James seems to be the shot caller on his Malolo 4 where he is, and Dominic, by teaming up with Wendell, is likable again for some reason. Plus, he has an idol and an advantage, so, yeah, keeping him around. Sebastian, yeah, he's got a hair braider, so I might as well keep him. Yeah, I'm good.
Hold on. I'm doing a dumb thing.
Okay.
Sorry. Anyway. Oh, that's dumb. All right, never mind. I was hoping to find the whole speech for the Clear Eyes, Full Hearts one. Oh, wait, here we go. Oh, but it's we live in the era of YouTube, and so everything has you can't just find quotes. You have to find the video. I don't want the fucking video. All right, I was gonna do a dumb thing, but I'm not gonna do the dumb thing anymore. I was gonna close out by reading the whole text of the speech because it's a very moving and stirring speech that Coach Taylor gives to his Dillon Panthers before they go out and take the field and lose that game. That was how I was going to end the episode. Instead, I'm going to end it like this. Thank you very, very much for listening to us this week. Sorry again that it was so short, but it's just like, well, you don't really need to take an hour to talk about 5 minutes of actual plot development. So, you know, hang in there, buddy. We love you. Clear Eyes, Full Heart, can't lose.
It's been like 45 minutes. I don't know what you're talking about, short.
Well, I'm going to edit out most of what you say, because you're a jerk.
Fuck you, Brian.
This has been a Night of the Living Geeks production. For more information and content, visit NLTLG.com.